Welcome to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播。现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众好，今天是八月十四号，北京时间下午五点。我是张燕，现在请听国际新闻。美国国防部说，在进行评估以后发现，伊拉克北部一座山上的难民人数少于先前的估计，因此实施一项撤离难民行动的可能性大大减少。美国国防部长哈格尔星期三晚间对记者发表讲话，谈及美国空袭伊斯兰国激进分子以及为辛贾尔山难民空投人道救援物资的效果。在激进分子对叙利亚边界附近大片地区发动致命攻击以前，伊拉克库尔德人和其他的少数群体成员到辛贾尔山上避难。尽管夜间发生火箭弹发射和空袭，以色列和哈马斯星期四维持着加沙地带的停火。星期三，双方同意将临时停火延长五天，以便双方在埃及继续谈判，争取就结束持续一个多月的战斗达成一项协议。就在宣布延长停火不久以后，以色列军方表示，几枚从加沙地带发射的火箭弹落入以色列的境内，随后以军发动空袭作为回应。暴力冲突在星期四拂晓以前停止，没有关于伤亡的报道。自七月初以来，在加沙地带已经有大约1950名巴勒斯坦人被打死，其中大多数是平民。以色列方面有67个人死亡，大多数是军人。星期四，教宗方济各开始对韩国进行为期五天的访问，他受到韩国总统朴槿惠的热情欢迎。访问期间，教宗将参加天主教青年节活动，并且主持一次弥撒，祝愿处于分裂和紧张状态的朝鲜半岛实现和平跟和解。在教宗抵达韩国的不到一个小时以前，朝鲜向其东部沿海发射了三枚导弹，此举凸显了朝鲜半岛的紧张局势。朝鲜拒绝派遣代表团参加教宗主持的弥撒，理由是对美韩即将举行的军事演习感到愤怒。如同其他所有宗教一样，天主教在朝鲜受到最严格的限制，因此不清楚朝鲜究竟有多少天主教徒。教宗此次访问韩国也凸显了梵蒂冈和中国的紧张关系。梵蒂冈和中国没有外交关系。一支前往遭受战火蹂躏的乌克兰东部的俄罗斯车队经过滞留以后继续前进。莫斯科说，车队运送的是人道救援物资。这支由将近300辆卡车组成的车队星期四离开俄罗斯西南部城镇沃罗兹尔日，此前车队在那里滞留，有关各方围绕车队运送的物资及其最终目的地发生激烈争执。莫斯科坚持说，已经跟国际红十字会就运送人道救援物资一事进行协调，但是国际红十字会的代表星期三表示，并不清楚这支车队的最终目的地。基辅政府屡次表示，怀疑莫斯科利用这支车队做借口，试图发动全面入侵。莫斯科星期三说，这种指责是荒唐的。乌克兰政府谴责俄罗斯为乌克兰东部分离分子提供武器，支持该地区的叛乱活动。美国国务卿克里说，美国致力于实施将重点转向亚洲的新战略。新闻报告完了，这是张燕从美国首都华盛顿向各位报告的。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate-level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，在第一课中，我们重点讲解了用什么语言表达自己的意见。首先请听电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham. She is calling from her office at Advanced Technologies in San Jose, California. How are you, Ms. Graham?
Fine, thanks.
Today, we are going to listen to your meeting with Mr. Epstein on Tuesday, June 11th last year. Mr. Epstein had met with Mr. Blake earlier that day, and they had discussed your plans to build a new factory.
Yes, that's right. And I wanted to be sure that Mr. Blake was aware of my concerns about the October deadline and after-sales service.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Okay.
Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility. I think that we can work things out with him.
Okay, as long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October, because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes, all right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay, all right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
Okay.
听说练习，请大家跟着我们说。
Have you discussed the project with him? Did you tell him about my main concerns? Do you mean the October deadline? I was very impressed with his flexibility. I think that we can work things out with him.
Elizabeth 继续采访 Graham 女士。
Ms. Graham, let's talk about your conversation with Mr. Epstein. Your main concerns were with the October deadline and after-sales service.
Yes, that's right. I wanted to be sure that the robots could be delivered and installed on time.
By October.
Yes, the factory had to begin operation in October. I also was concerned about after-sales service. International Robotics is a Chinese company. I wasn't sure that they would be able to provide adequate maintenance and repair service.
Mr. Epstein seemed pleased with Mr. Blake's responses to these questions.
Yes, Mr. Epstein was convinced that we should buy Mr. Blake's robots. I wasn't so sure.
I see. Well, thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Welcome once again to Culture Tips. We're here with our business language expert, Gary Engleton. Gary, we have an email question about the structure of American companies. The question is, how are American companies organized?
Well, most traditional American companies have a clear organizational structure. It's clear who does what. People can change jobs, but the company structure does not change. For example, a salesperson can become a sales manager.
Or the manager of a department can become a vice president.
Yes, that's right. A worker can be promoted to a better job within the organization.
the organization doesn't change.
I see.
Newer companies sometimes have a more flexible structure, especially in the high-tech world. These companies may be organized into project teams. These teams may be temporary.
Temporary?
Yes, they may work together only for a short time. Then the workers may be moved to other teams for different projects.
And what if there is no new project?
In many companies, these workers may be laid off. The president or vice presidents may not change, but the managers and workers will change jobs much more than in the past.
Why does a company adopt a flexible structure?
The world of business is changing very quickly. A flexible structure helps a company move quickly.
That makes sense. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
I really think that we need to spend more money on research. We need more computer technology to keep up with the competition.
That's a good point. But in my opinion, we have to focus on keeping costs down. It seems to me that computer technology greatly increases the price of a car.
But I think that we need to move into the high-end market. And that means selling more cars to rich people in the U.S. and overseas.
Perhaps we should talk to our director of marketing.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
Gary 提示
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to offer an opinion. When you give an opinion, it is a good idea to use an expression like, I think, or in my opinion. In this way, you show that you know you are offering an opinion, not stating a fact. In the business dialogue we heard earlier, the company president and vice president have different ideas about the importance of new technology. The president thinks that more money should be spent on research, but the vice president thinks it is more important to keep costs down. They use the expressions, I really think, and in my opinion, when they give their opinions.
I really think that we need to spend more money on research. We need more computer technology to keep up with the competition.
That's a good point, but in my opinion, we have to focus on keeping costs down.
Both executives try to soften the difference of opinion and keep the conversation going. The vice president also uses the expression, it seems to me, to offer his opinion.
It seems to me that computer technology greatly increases the price of a car.
Using the expression, it seems to me, is a good way to offer an opinion. American culture values the free expression of ideas. When personal opinions are presented as opinions and not as facts, people are more comfortable offering different opinions. This free discussion can also lead to new ideas, which are good for business. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
本星期第二课，我们重点讲解怎样客气地表达不同意见。首先，请听电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Mr. Mike Epstein. We'll be speaking with Mr. Epstein by phone from his office in San Jose, California. Welcome, Mr. Epstein. On our last program, we spoke with Ms. Graham about your meeting on June 11th.
Yes, we met together after my meeting with Mr. Blake. I was very impressed with Mr. Blake's company, but Ms. Graham had some doubts.
She told us that she was concerned about after-sales service and about the October deadline.
Yes, she was quite concerned about those issues, and I was confident that we would be able to work things out.
Let's listen to the conversation. Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility. I think that we can work things out with him.
Okay. As long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October, because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
Okay.
So Ms. Graham still had doubts about Mr. Blake's ability to meet the deadline.
Yes, she did. I knew she was worried that Mr. Blake's company would not be able to install the robots on time, by the October deadline.
But you disagreed.
Yes, I was very impressed by the quality of the industrial robots. I knew that Mr. Blake's company had the best technology, and I saw that Mr. Blake was very flexible. I was sure he could deliver on time.
What about after-sales service?
Again, I felt that we could work out a solution with Mr. Blake.
Thank you very much for being on our show. Your comments have been very interesting.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Hello, and welcome again to Culture Tips. Gary Engledon, our business language expert, is here with us again.
Welcome, everybody.
We have an email question about communicating with bosses. The question is, sometimes I hear American workers arguing with their bosses. Is this normal in American companies?
Well, I would say that good bosses encourage their subordinates to disagree with them.
Why is that?
Well, think about it. Let's say that the boss is going to make a new policy. A subordinate feels strongly that the new policy will cause big problems. If the subordinate is right, the boss will look very bad.
I think that I understand. The subordinate can help the boss by keeping him or her from doing something stupid.
Yes, that's it exactly. That's why good bosses want their subordinates to tell them when they are wrong. Of course, the bosses want to hear strong facts and reasons to support the disagreement.
So they only want intelligent disagreement.
Yes, good bosses want to listen to different opinions and then make a decision. But there are limits.
What kind of limits?
Well, after the final decision is made, everyone has to support it, even the people who disagreed with it. If they don't support it, there will be a really bad atmosphere in the office.
So it's okay to disagree before the decision is made, but afterwards you have to be quiet.
Yes.
Well, once again, we've learned a lot. Thanks, Gary. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
I'm really worried about the team. They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly. I think we've got to give them a couple of days off.
I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished. If we can keep everyone working for 3 or 4 more days, we'll be able to complete it on time. Then they can take a break for a day or two.
I hope you're right, but I don't know if they can keep going for 3 or 4 more days.
Henry, I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried. They're stronger than you think, and they know the importance of this deadline. Let's help them get through it, okay?
Okay, I'll do what I can.
Gary提示.
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engledon.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to disagree politely.
In business, it is sometimes necessary to disagree, even with your boss.
When you disagree, it's important to recognize the other person's feeling. In American business or social situations, it is very impolite to say directly, "You're wrong."
Instead, you should use expressions for polite disagreement, as we hear in today's business dialogue. It is always a good idea to show that you understand the other person's position. For example, Amy says to Henry that she can understand his concern.
I'm really worried about the team. They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly. I think we've got to give them a couple of days off.
I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished.
In a similar way, Mr. Epstein shows that he understands Ms. Graham's position.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent.
Even if you don't agree with people, you should let them know that you understand their idea. Here is an example from the business dialogue.
Henry, I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried.
If you want to resolve a disagreement and find the best solution, you want to keep communication open. The best way to do this is to treat the other person with respect. Using the expressions we've discussed today is one way to show this respect for the other person's ideas. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
本星期第三课，我们重点讲解了怎样使用拖延、推迟时间的语言。首先是电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Mr. Mike Epstein. Mr. Epstein will be with us by phone from his office at Advanced Technologies. Welcome, Mr. Epstein. On our last show, we listened to your conversation with Ms. Graham. There was one thing I wasn't sure about.
Yes, what was it?
You wanted to buy robots from Mr. Blake's company.
Yes.
And you said, I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Uh-huh.
Well, Ms. Graham replied, yes, all right. But she didn't really agree with you, did she?
No, she didn't.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley. But again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay. All right.
Why does she say, yes, all right, if she doesn't agree with you?
She is stalling.
Excuse me?
She's stalling. She is delaying her decision until later. That's why she says, let's discuss it further tomorrow.
I see.
She understood my position, but she didn't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, now I understand. Thank you. So, what did you do after your meeting with Ms. Graham?
I called Mr. Blake at his hotel to confirm the meeting.
Did you speak to him?
No, I didn't. I left a message on his voicemail.
Let's listen to that telephone call.
Embassy Suites Hotel?
Yes, could you please connect me with Mr. Charles Blake?
Do you have his room number?
No, I don't.
One moment, please. I'm sorry, but your party is not answering. Would you like to leave a message?
Yes, please.
One moment, and I'll connect you to his voicemail.
The person you are calling is not available at this time. Please leave a message at the sound of the tone.
This is Mike Epstein. I wanted to confirm your meeting with Ms. Graham for tomorrow, Wednesday, June 12th. We will meet you at your hotel a few minutes after 12, and we'll have lunch together. I look forward to seeing you then. Goodbye.
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton.
Welcome, everybody.
Well, Gary, today we have an email question about another important aspect of American business culture.
Great. What's the question?
The question is, how is information communicated in an American business?
Well, let's start with meetings. If there is information that really needs to be discussed, Americans usually call a meeting.
Uh-huh.
But in many American companies, people don't like meetings.
Why is that?
Well, they take up a lot of time. Everyone has to stop working and sit together.
I understand. What else can you do?
Well, you can write a memo and give everyone a copy.
That's convenient.
Yes, it's a good method when you want to give simple information to many people. But if you want to communicate with only one or two people, it is easier just to walk over and talk to them.
Personal communication can be very nice.
Yes, it's not as formal. It's friendly. Many Americans prefer that method. But email is really popular now.
Why?
Well, it's fast, and you can do it from your desk.
That is convenient, but not as personal. Well, thanks again, Gary.
I'm glad that I could help.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Frank, can I talk to you?
Is it about Joe again?
Yes, it is. He's way behind on the project.
Joan, I'm really busy right now. Let's discuss it tomorrow.
Frank, it can't wait. He's hurting the whole team.
Joan, I don't think that this is the best time to talk about it. I have to speak to the board of directors in 30 minutes.
But it has been going on for weeks.
Look, let's sleep on it. We'll talk again tomorrow afternoon.
All right.
I'm
really busy right now. Let's discuss it tomorrow. I don't think that this is the best time to talk about it. Let's sleep on it. We'll talk again tomorrow afternoon.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about the language function stalling.
What do you mean by stalling?
Well, sometimes you want to delay a discussion or a decision. Maybe you want more time to think or to get more information. Or you may just be too busy to talk. Today's business dialogue introduces a number of useful expressions for stalling. In the dialogue, Joan wants to talk with Frank, but Frank is too busy.
Frank, can I talk to you?
Is it about Joe again?
Yes, it is. He's way behind on the project.
Joan, I'm really busy right now. Let's discuss it tomorrow.
Frank explains why he can't talk now, and he suggests a time when they can talk. Joan feels the discussion is too important to delay. She uses the expression, "it can't wait," to say that something must be done now.
Frank, it can't wait. He's hurting the whole team.
Joan, I don't think that this is the best time to talk about it. I have to speak to the board of directors in 30 minutes.
Again, Frank stalls, and he gives his reason for the delay. Joan tries one more time, and again, Frank puts off the discussion.
But it has been going on for weeks.
Look, let's sleep on it. We'll talk again tomorrow afternoon.
All right.
Frank makes it clear that he does not want to talk about the situation until tomorrow. In her conversation with Mr. Epstein, Ms. Graham uses a similar expression to put off discussion.
I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
美国之音现在报告新闻。美国国防部说，在进行评估后发现，伊拉克北部一座山上的难民人数少于先前的估计，因此实施一项撤离难民行动的可能性大大减小。美国国防部长哈格尔星期三晚间对记者发表讲话，谈及美国空袭伊拉克伊斯兰激进分子以及为辛加尔山难民空投人道救援物资的效果。在激进分子对叙利亚边界附近大片地区发动致命攻击之前，伊拉克库尔德人和其他少数群体成员到辛加尔山上避难。尽管夜间发生火箭弹发射和空袭，以色列和哈马斯星期四维持着加沙地带的停火。星期三，双方同意将临时停火延长5天，以便双方在埃及继续谈判，争取就结束持续1个多月的战斗达成一项协议。就在宣布延长停火后不久，以色列军方表示，几枚从加沙地带发射的火箭弹落入以色列境内，随后以军发动空袭作为回应。暴力在星期四拂晓前停止，没有关于伤亡的报道。星期四，教宗方济各开始对韩国进行为期5天的访问，他受到韩国总统朴槿惠的热情欢迎。访问期间，教宗将参加天主教青年节活动，并主持一次弥撒，祝愿处于分裂和紧张状态的朝鲜半岛实现和平与和解。在教宗抵达韩国的不到1小时前，朝鲜向其东部沿海发射了3枚导弹，此举凸显了朝鲜半岛的紧张局势。韩国国防部官员说，随后朝鲜又发射了2枚导弹，所有这些导弹都是从元山发射落入220公里外的沿海。韩国外交部发言人谴责朝鲜发射导弹，这是朝鲜进行一系列导弹试射的最新事态。在教宗坐飞机经过中国领空时，教宗向中国国家主席习近平发送一个信息，为中国的和平与福祉祝福。一支前往遭受战火蹂躏的乌克兰东部的俄罗斯车队经过滞留后继续进行进。莫斯科说，车队运送的是人道救援物资。这支由近300辆卡车组成的车队星期四离开俄罗斯西南部城镇，此前车队在那里滞留，有官方各方围绕车队的运送物资及最终目的地发生激烈的争执。莫斯科坚持说，已经同国际红十字会就运送人道救援物资一事进行了协调，但国际红十字会此前星期三表示，并不清楚这支车队最终的目的。基辅政府屡次表示，怀疑莫斯科利用这次车队做借口，试图发动全面的入侵。莫斯科星期三说，这种指责是荒唐的。乌克兰政府谴责俄罗斯为乌克兰东部分裂分子提供武器，支持该地区的叛乱活动。美国国务卿克里说，美国致力于实施将重点转向亚洲的新战略。星期三，克里在夏威夷的东西方中心演讲时发表了上述评论。夏威夷是克里此次亚太地区8天之行的最后一站。克里说，奥巴马总统指示他加强在亚太地区的外交努力。克里表示，外交努力的重点在于扩大与中国的合作。中国对美国将重点转向亚洲的战略表示关注。在北京与其邻国在东中国海及南中国海的领土争端上，美中两国存在分歧。在缅甸举行的东盟峰会上，中国拒绝接受美国提出的有关缓解领土争端紧张局势的建议。克里也出席了这次会议。克里星期三重申，美国在东中国海和南中国海领土争端问题上不偏袒任何一方，但他表示，华盛顿非常关注如何解决这一问题。在美国密苏里州城市圣路易斯郊区，一名没有武器的黑人青年被一名警察开枪打死以后，当地警察和居民之间的紧张关系正在加剧。星期三晚间，佩戴防爆护具的警察向数百名居民发射催泪弹和烟幕弹。在以黑人为主的这一地区，居民连续4个晚上举行抗议活动。各位听众，以上是美国之音播出的新闻，谢谢您的收听，再会。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
好，各位观众朋友大家好，欢迎收看美国之音8月13号星期三的时事大家谈，我是林森，我们从美国首都华盛顿现场直播。
各位好，我是宇宙。
上星期美国总统奥巴马在华盛顿举行了首次美非峰会，峰会规模宏大，有近50位非洲国家的首脑出席了会议。舆论普遍认为美国举行史无前例的美非峰会凸显出美国迟来的努力，美国要与中国展开竞争，迎头赶上，扩大同非洲的关系。美国企业界人士认为，虽然奥巴马总统的首次美非峰会规模盛大，但是北京早在10多年前就举行过同样规模的中非领导人峰会，是美国自己长期以来把非洲市场拱手让给了别人。奥巴马总统的这项举措显然是要弥补这个缺失，在非洲与中国展开影响力的竞争。美中两个世界大国开始逐鹿非洲，鹿死谁手？今天我们邀请嘉宾和大家一起分析这些话题。
好，今天参加节目讨论的两位嘉宾呢，一位是澳门大学政府与行政学系主任王建伟教授，王教授呢通过 Skype 参加节目。王教授你好。
哎，你好。
好的，非常好。另外一位呢是美国普林斯顿中国学社执行主任陈奎德博士，我们欢迎两位。我们同时呢也欢迎各位听众观众朋友打电话参加节目的讨论，免费热线电话呢是400-120-0551，400-120-0551。中国大陆和台湾两岸的观众和听众以及网友呢，都可以拨打这个电话参加节目，提出您的意见，也同时呢发表您的看法。好，首先第一个问题呢，我想先问问在澳门大学的黄建伟教授，就是说我们刚才在导言中呢也谈到，就美国这次的这个努力呢，其实中国早在10多年前就有过了。那么就是现在呢，这美国是不是试图在这个非洲问题上呢要迎头赶上中国？那么同时呢，我想问问就是说，在美国在跟非洲的这个关系上呢，就是从这个影响和利益来说，我们了解就这两者当然是分不开的。那么如果要区分的话呢，究竟是美国更加侧重于自己在对非洲来施加这个影响呢，还是更加侧重于从非洲获得利益？王教授。
当然那个美国是一个这个超级大国了，它在全球都有利益和影响。那么非洲也不例外了。那么当然这个中国在非洲经营也是有很多年，那么早在50-60年代中国就开始发展和非洲国家的关系。那么奥巴马总统上台以后呢，就是一直想要这个加强和非洲的关系。当然现在一般的舆论都讲好像是和中国进行战略上的竞争啊，在非洲竞争可能有这个因素，但是呢，奥巴马你也知道，他自己也有一个非洲情结，他的这个他有肯尼亚的这个血统，所以呢，他这个上台以后，其实已经好像已经3次这个访问非洲了。那么这个和过去的这个美国总统相比呢，应该说是对非洲相对来说比较重视。那么我想这个美非的这个高峰会呢，也是筹划已久。因为这个美国在外交上有很多其他的这个问题，所以呢一下子也顾不上，所以呢这次尽管这个发生了这个疫情啊，这个美国还是坚持要在这个华盛顿搞这样一次美非这个峰会呢，足以显示就是说美国希望在这个非洲啊能够加强它的地位啊。那么从这个利益角度来讲的话呢，我想这个现在这个中国和非洲的这个贸易呢要大大超过美国和非洲的贸易啊，好像差不多，美国和非洲贸易好像是只有中国和非洲贸易的一半吧？啊，中国和非洲贸易大概有2000多亿美元。真正如果你要讲利益的话呢，当然这个，美国在非洲的利益从贸易这个角度讲，可能要少于中国。但是大国这个进行外交，它不单单是看利益啊，那么它还要看这个软实力啊。看这个在这个地区的影响，那么中国在这个非洲地区的这个外交的加强和影响的这个增长呢，也是不争的事实。所以呢，我当然美国应该说在这个方面也想要这个通过这个这样一个美非峰会啊，那么来加强它在这个非洲的这个影响和地位。
好，谢谢黄教授。
接下来一个问题，我想先请，我不知道刚才建伟博士是就这个话题谈了一下他的看法，我不知道奎德博士有没有补充。就是这奥巴马总统举行这样一个规模盛大的这样一个峰会，他这个动机和背景到底是什么？我不知道你的看法是怎么样。
当然王教授刚才说的我觉得是对的，就是说除了一般的说来要和美国要在全世界开始展开他自己的影响力和平衡以外，和美国总统的某种非洲情节有一定的关系，当然这个关系有多大我们很难说，但是还是有的。当然和中国竞争也是一个关系，但是我不认为这个关系是非常大，因为美国在非洲的利益目前来说小于中国在非洲的利益。同时呢，非洲一贯是中国，包括从毛泽东时代开始所谓的亚非拉朋友，就是非洲，因为它是一个后起的发展的最后的一个州了，所以说最后未开垦的处理地了，所以说它的经济发展目前看来是处于比较低的阶段向高的阶段发展的阶段，所以这个时期是比较快的，据说现在是全球发展最快的国家，10个有6个在非洲。从速度上来说，当然这个它因为基础比较薄，所以发展起来比较快，所以大家可能还是注意到这个饭碗，注意到这个经济利益所在，因此要在这方面参加竞争。我觉得这个竞争都没有关系，中国人美国竞争没有什么道德上的问题，大家都在这里竞争经济利益没有什么问题，关键是在于如何做，这一点恐怕我们待会儿会谈到，说中国在非洲的一些举措是不是和过去的殖民主义有相似的地方，甚至有些过了的地方，诸如此类的。
好，谢谢贵德。接下来一个问题，我想请澳门大学的王建伟教授来谈一谈。我想说一说，就是关于这个美国和中国在非洲发展的这样的这个异同啊，它有什么不同？因为这次奥巴马总统说，我们在非洲，我们的做法将会和中国是不同的。美国有很多分析人士，说美国在非洲，美国的非洲政策。在非洲啊，历来都是注重于许多发展问题，去解决一些非洲的重大的，比如说公共卫生的危机啊，艾滋病疫情啦，啊，或者是什么像现在比如说埃博拉疫情啊，包括一些地区的这样的一些冲突。因此呢，说美国关注的是非洲的消极的这一面，是非洲的问题，而不是非洲的这样的积极的这一面。那所谓这个积极的这一面，就是中国所关注的。中国关注的是在非洲的这样的一个经济机会，也就是说，这个，中国和美国这个区别，所谓一个关注积极，一个关注消极，这样的两个方面，你是怎么看的这种评价？
我觉得这样的说法呢，有点牵强啊，有点牵强。那么你说，美国关心这个非洲的这个。公共卫生问题啊，那么中国好像是不关心这样的东西。其实中国很早就向那个非洲很多国家派了医疗队，那么这个大家可能也知道，就是说实际上就是公共卫生也是中国在非洲活动的一个方面。那么所以呢，就要比较这个比较绝对的把这个两个国家在非洲活动加以区分的。我想着说这个美国关心发展问题，好，中国好像不关心这个发展问题，其实也完全不是这样，因为中国实际上这个在非洲活动主要的方面还是要帮助这些非洲国家进行这个经济发展。所以呢，我想呢，这个美国和中国其实在非洲大陆它是有这个很多相同的地方，因为但是另外一方面呢也很明显，就是说如果一个国家在这方面投入比较多，比如说中国它是比较注重在这些非洲国家搞一些基础设施的建设，修道路啊，修建道路啊，医院啊，这个等等。那么美国当然如果再去做同样的事情，当然也没有意义。那美国可能会更加注重于防止艾滋病啊等等这方面的问题。所以我想，这可能是一种很自然的一种分工啊。那么你说到这个中国和非洲，中国和美国在非洲活动的一些。主要的区别呢，当然中国一向强调就是说中国对非洲援助啊或者经济发展的援助一般是不附加任何的这个政治条件，那么美国呢可能在这方面呢就是附加的条件比较多啊，那么所以我想这个可能是，而且呢中国一般呢不愿意去干涉这些，从传统上讲不愿意干涉这些非洲国家的内政，那么美国呢当然这个大家知道它传统上就是希望这些非洲国家这个能够建立这个民主的政权，那么这方面呢，我想在中国和这个美国是有一定的区别。至于说到在这个非洲经济发展问题上有一些什么不同的分工，就把它说成是一种非常大的，好像是这个 区别的话呢，我想有点牵强。
嗯，好，谢谢王教授。那么接下来一个问题，我想问问在我们演播室的陈博士。那么刚才呢，我们顺着这个王教授他的这个思路走，就说到美中之间在非洲的这个影响问题。那么如果我们不妨站在这个非洲的角度来说，他同样是跟中国合作，还有跟美国合作。那么他除了得到什么之外，他失去了什么东西？
我想他美国和中国在非洲的投资，刚才王教授也讲了，我们大家也知道前一段时间很多国家都开始了这种开始中国到非洲去投资啊，去建厂啊，去搞经济活动，大家都觉得是好事情，这种就是互利的嘛，双方都有利。但是逐渐的事情发展到一段阶段以后，大家注意到了中国，实际上刚才中国自己也承认的，他是不喜欢和过问非洲内部的包括他政治事务，特别是关于人权问题啊，特别是关于他的国家的结构是不是民主的结构啊等等，他说是我们是从不干涉内政的，他是这个。但是美国显然他是有他的传统的传教士情节，他要推展自己的价值，他觉得对如果是民主国家或者民主政权，他会比较热心的帮助非民主国家，他可能就要施加一些条件，附加一些条件，希望他们能够向尊重人权或者向民主的方向过渡等等等等。我觉得这个东西，我觉得还是美国这个，你如果是承认是支持，他认为这个价值，例如民主这个价值，尊重人权这个价值是对的话，我觉得这个是无可厚非的，而且是应该的，应当做的，而不是说是不。还有一点就是说，关于有些东西武器的问题。中国是不管你是什么国家，不管你在内部发生了多残酷的内战，甚至种族灭绝的，反正我销售武器我就得利，就是经济上，它是这方面的那个限制是非常之少，甚至几乎没有。这一点，美国和欧洲的那些国家对这一点都是相当的注意的，就是说哪些国家是限制武器销售的，这一点我觉得也是一个重要的区别。
嗯。
这个我想稍微补充一点啊，就是刚刚奎德讲的，这个其实呢，这个从这个对非洲这个出售武器的这个数额来讲的话呢，现在从目前的情况来看呢，美国对非洲国家出售武器的数量还是要大大超过中国，这我想这一点我想稍微补充一下。
嗯，接下来一个问题，建伟，我想跟你讨论一下的就是，我们来谈一谈。中国媒体或者说中国方面对美国这一次的首次规模宏大的美非峰会的这样的一个关注，那我注意到这个中国媒体啊发表了许多报道说呢，说中国的非洲政策是一直受到外界特别是美国的批评，那么美国呢经常是批评中国说是以经济项目啊为理由对非洲啊进行殖民化，那么中国媒体说美国从来没有停止过攻击中国，而现在呢，你看你美国你又紧步中国的后尘，现在也到非洲去了。那么刚才你也提到，中国实际上在过去的几十年啊，实际上对非洲国家的经济、技术和医疗实际上做了很多的事情，投入是很大的，但是为什么费力不讨好？
所谓费力不讨好就要看谁说了。那么当然这个刚才你讲到的这个对中国在非洲活动的批评呢，主要还是来自西方了，主要来自美国，来自这个特别是欧洲国家。那么当然这个从这个非洲国家的本身的这个反应来看的话呢，应当说在相当程度上还是正面啊。那么当然我不是说这个中国在非洲的这个政策就无懈可击了，那么其实他也还是有一些问题。那么最近你可能也注意到这个习近平在谈到和发展中国家的关系的时候，就提出要有一个正确的一个所谓的这个利益观，就是当这个利益和这个这个正义啊这个发生冲突的时候应当把这个利益放在第一位，还是这个正义放在第一位。那么他强调说应当把正义放在第一位。那么这个也就是间接的承认，就是说中国过去在非洲还有其他这个发展国家的政策呢，可能比较追逐这个商业上的利益啊，那么可能说就是也影响了这个中国在这些国家的软实力，特别是因为现在这个中国国内大量的这个私人企业个人就跑到这个非洲国家去投资啊经商啊， 他们的有些做法，那么中国企业的有些做法呢，可能是不符合这个西方的一些标准，那么也有这个损害人权的这样的现象，所以他会提出要有一个正确的义利观。那么这个我想呢，这个在这方面呢，中国是应当也是要加以改进的。另外一方面呢，刚才讲到就是说对这个非洲国家一些内政到底用什么一个看法，过去中国是强调不干涉内政，那么现在呢，因为中国在这些国家都有了大量的利益以后呢，其实你对这个内政不闻不问呢也不行了因为如果这个国家不稳定，是独裁这个统治那么军政府的统治，那么如果说这个造成这个大量的违反人权，然后呢这个政治也不稳定的话，其实到最后呢还是会损害中国在这些国家的利益。所以呢，中国现在也提出啊，这个希望能够促进非洲国家的这个所谓的善治，所以他过去的一些传统的一些做法呢，现在也在逐步的进行调整也想有一些新的这个新的尝试。所以我想呢，这个那么说到和是不是刚才讲到说这个中国的媒体说和这个美国的做法跟中国本来批评中国其实跟中国也差不多，那么我想呢，大国的这个大国的外交都有相同的地方那么有时候是50步笑100步了，大家的这个做法其实都差不多，都是为了自己的利益，都要增加自己的影响。所以呢，我想呢，这个说有这个完全本质的区别呢，我想这个可能也是言过其实。
辉德还有什么补充？
我想建伟他刚才已经说的比较全了，不过就是说两点，就是关于正义和那个利益的平衡的话，对这个还是很重要的，就是包括例如中国有些企业不顾环保的问题，这个也是涉及到，
对对对，
还有刚才我涉及到黄建伟刚才谈到一个问题，关于武器，确实总量我想美国是比中国多，但是据我的了解哈，我的了解也许有限，就是说他的那个对国家，例如这个国家是一个非常的独裁的军政府专制的国家，或者说内部就非常强烈的种族纷争的国家，他对这些国家的限制，就是说中国某种意义上哈，这个中间差别是有多大我们不知道，但是有一些差别，中国几乎是所有的国家就是说都是凭不管他的内部情况如何都是发卖武器的，而西方国家恐怕对各个国家的性质有区别，虽然它总量也许比中国大，但是它有区别的，是武器。
好，那么接下来我想问问，就是黄教授啊，就刚才你也谈到，就是中国对美国对中国在非洲的这个施加影响的这个过程，以及它这个获利的过程呢，那么他们现在也期待进行一些这个政策上的调整，那么在这一方面，它势必呢也得跟美国进行一些这个借鉴，可以这么讲，因为美国毕竟有比较成熟的这个外交政策啊。那么从您的角度来看呢，美国过去这些年，他在非洲通过他在非洲的这个运作呢，他获得了什么样的这个成果收获？那么中国可以从哪些方面进行一些这个取经学习呢？
我想其实中国和美国哈，可以在非洲啊有这个更多的合作，而不是要去强调那个竞争的那方面。因为中国这个非洲这么大，就是用这个中国这个官员经常讲的一句话，就是非洲之大可以容下这个中美两国。我想这本来说是这个太平洋之大可以容下这个中美两国，我想非洲也是如此。现在这个媒体呢，我觉得过分的强调说啊，中美之间在这个非洲进行争夺啊，那么我想呢，这个可能有时候可能这起的效果不一定很好。那么在这个问题上呢，我想呢，这个我倒要指出，就是说，那美国的一些领导人，包括这个希拉里，原来这个国务卿希拉里，然后这个现在奥巴马，他们经常会批评这个中国在非洲的政策。那么你反过来看呢，你没看到这个中国的官员去，很明显的去批评这个美国在非洲的这个政策。所以呢，我想呢，这个方面呢，我想双方都应该有抱有一定的善意。而且呢，这个也有报道说，其实比如说这个刚果这个民主共和国的一个水坝，那么当时呢，这个去年好像中国曾经提出要跟美国一起合作，来搞这么一个水坝，那么到现在为止，美国方面还没有一个积极的响应。所以像类似这样的事情，如果说双方不是这各干各的啊，那么可以在一些问题一些这个项目上进行合作，来帮助非洲摆脱贫困。帮助非洲这个经济发展，如果能够这样的话呢，我想呢，这个可能是对这个非洲对中美关系都会有这个帮助。那么现在这个中美之间在进行 对话的时候呢，也会谈到他们在非洲的关系，我想这个可能也是一个好的开端，我们应当加强在这方面的这个沟通。那么双方这个在非洲的这个援助啊，这些啊，都有自己独特的地方，应该这个相互这个借鉴学习，而不是要去相互的这个排挤，这个指着对方的做法是不对的，你自己的做法就是对的。这我想呢，可能是不会对帮非洲有很大的帮助。
实际上，中国有很多民众啊，就是对中国的这个外交政策，特别是对非洲的援助啊，包括对朝鲜的援助等等，就是说，哎，我们自己国家的人民还没有享受到这些福利待遇呢啊。中国，我想请奎德来谈一下中国发展和非洲的这关系。除了刚才你也谈到，就是这是中国和非洲一个传统的友谊。所谓刚才张先生也提到，当时中国是为了要进入联合国，是当时毛泽东的话，如果没记错的话，是周恩来话，这是非洲朋友把我们抬进来的啊，抬进来，传统友谊。那么中国现在发展和非洲的关系是这种传统的友谊的这样的继续呢，还是他更多的考虑是这种政治关系呢，还是什么为的是经济利益，或者说有更多的战略意义？
我想现在应该客观地说，现在的中国的非洲政策和毛泽东时代还是有所不同了。这个就是说他还是受到一定制约，同时也受到社会自发的，例如企业家有些他有主动性的话，他也可以努力争取取得投资。像毛泽东时代那种外交和内政的关系啊，我是持某种否定态度的。就是说例如像阿尔巴尼亚，像对朝鲜的援助等等，中国自己内部的那个饥荒啊，或者是什么情况都是非常严重的时候，还花了非常多的钱去援助外面的国家，做他自己的政治的本钱，就像毛泽东本人，这个东西我觉得是非常的不对的。但是现在非洲政策，我想显然和那个时候是有区别的，不是说是中国人已经是非常的穷，非常的根本就不行了，我完全是糟糕的透了，然后在国外去做面子。这个情况有一点点，但是不是已经和那时候大不相同了，也就是说他还是受到内政的一些制约了。当时基本上我们的外交政策是和内政是完全分隔的，完全不受任何制约的，因为像那种完全独断的统治，而现在的统治方式或者说民意的制约，包括社会上的各种制约，包括中国的国家机器内部的互相制约，他都不可能像过去做那种荒唐的事了。所以说目前还是要客观的看，目前对非洲的政策比当年的毛泽东对于所谓亚非拉的支持是大大的进步了，但是确实如刚才就说的还是非常不够，我们内政中间还是有很多的问题。这两者要分开来谈，内政是内政，外交是外交，内政我们还有非常非常多的问题需要改进。
建伟怎么看？
我基本上同意奎德讲的，就是说呢，当时60年代50年代中国呢自己很穷，然后呢拼命去援助这些这个发展的国家，特别是非洲国家，那么有一些完全不顾自己的国力啊意识形态这个角度去出发去援助这个非洲国家，这个呢我想是对这个中国国内老百姓的这个民生啊这个缺乏一种关怀。那么现在当然这个情况完全不一样，现在中国是世界上第二大经济体啊，那么中国确实也有相当的国力可以用来去这个支持这个非洲国家的一些发展，这个我想是合理的。当然中国现在也不可能像过去那样这个不顾自己国内的民生然后就拼命去援助其他国家，这种做法呢我想应该也不大可能发生，因为中国国内的民意啊还是有一定的对这个外交还是有一定的制约。
对，非常好。那么由于时间的关系呢，今天时事大家谈的讨论到这里就结束了。我们非常感谢澳门大学的王建伟教授和美国普林斯顿中国学社的陈奎德博士参加节目的讨论。
以上也就是今天美国之音时事大家谈的全部内容，感谢您的收看。另外美国之音中文网站上新建立了电视节目的预告，那么您可以点击 VOA 卫视留言板就可以对即将讨论的话题提出问题或者是发表评论，我们等待您的留言。
好的，那么我们时事大家谈的 Facebook 和 Twitter 账号的网址分别是 facebook.com/VOAIO 和 twitter.com/VOAIO， 我们期待与您有更多的交流和更多的互动。
欢迎每天在北京时间晚上8点到10点准时锁定美国之音 VOA 卫视，我是林森，祝大家晚安。
我是宇宙，我们下次节目再见。